13, verse 44 to 46. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it.
Hopefully, yes, you can hear me. I don't know what the problem is.
It's actually better if you actually have the microphone. I'm thinking I can't hear myself very well, which is not necessarily a bad thing. Thanks, Manu, for reading that for us. That's great. So good to be back with you again this week. It's already so many good things in this service, like sharing in communion with you, hearing about permanent residency, hearing a cello in worship, and I'm not really sure what this instrument is here, but that is fantastic. What's it called?
Santur.
Oh, fantastic. It's got a lot more strings than my guitar. So, and we even had a pirate this morning as well. So you just needed a patch. Nathan, wherever you are, you just needed an eye patch as well. So good to be here. This morning, we've got the great privilege of sitting and highlighting a couple of short parables of Jesus, some of these stories that Jesus told that get us thinking, get us pondering, asking questions, kind of scratching our heads a little. And Jesus really takes us into that space, and we have the opportunity to do that today. And today, as Nathan pointed out, we're looking for treasure. So sounds kind of good. So let me pray for us as we begin, that we might find what God is wanting us to find in this time this morning. Let's pray together. So our Lord God, we give thanks for your people. We give thanks for the scriptures, for the Bible, and the way that you speak to us through that and in other ways. And Lord, we thank you for Jesus, that remembrance that we've just celebrated right now, the remembrance of what Jesus has done for us. And we thank you for the words of Jesus in scripture. And so as we sit with some of those again this morning, I pray, Lord, that there would be just a settledness and a peace over this place, and that we would sense the presence of your Spirit who is here, and that, Holy Spirit, you would speak to each of us this morning what we need to hear about what Jesus is saying in these passages. And we pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, as we just heard, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. The first bit there, the kingdom of heaven is like, might sound a little bit familiar. Because if you were here with us last week, we looked at a parable of grace, and Jesus started off the same way. And in fact, in the Gospel of Matthew, the one that we're looking at the moment, a number of times, maybe 9-10 times or so, when Jesus shares a story, when he shares a parable, that's kind of how he opens it up. The kingdom of heaven is like, and then he tells a story. And here it is again, Jesus talking about the kingdom. And that should tell us something straight away, shouldn't it? It should tell us that Jesus is really wanting us to pick up some stuff about this kingdom that he's talking about. He passes all these hints and all these stories that tell us about the kingdom. And he wants us to know more about what this kingdom is like. And so the kingdom of heaven, well, it's like treasure hidden in a field, says Jesus. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. It's basically just one verse, that first bit. One verse. So what's Jesus given us here? What's he given us here? I think there's a few things in this, more than you'd expect in one single verse. First up, that kingdom is like treasure. There's a treasuring to it. That kingdom is like treasure. And if I asked you this morning, what is your treasure? I wonder what you'd say to me. I wonder how you'd answer that. What is your treasure? Just want us to think on that for a moment. Just maybe picture something. What is it in my life that I really treasure? Is that something that you own that is really precious to you, or may be of no value to other people, but there's sentimental value in that? Or is it a person, or is it some people around you, maybe family or friends or whatever, that's what you really treasure? Treasure is the stuff that we hold most dearly. Whatever's most precious for us, that's what we treasure. That is our treasure. And Jesus says to us this morning that God's kingdom, this kingdom of heaven, is like treasure. But there's more to what he's saying there, because the kingdom of heaven is like treasure, but it's like treasure hidden in a field. That's what Jesus is wanting us to get here. It's like treasure hidden in a field. It's hidden, but still treasure. Just because it can't be seen, it's still treasure. Still precious, just kind of hidden away at this point. And you know, it wasn't so unusual in Palestine in those days that people would bury treasure. They would actually bury treasure. They'd have some possessions or some wealth or whatever, or some coins or whatever, and they'd put it in a box and bury it. They didn't have banks like we do in those days. It was a little bit more difficult for them. And so, like some people do these days, they kind of hide cash under the mattress. People would have a little treasure box or whatever. They'd actually bury it, and they'd bury it somewhere where hopefully they'd remember to come back to it. But then sometimes those people would die before they got back to the treasure, or maybe they'd forget where they put it, and it would remain hidden. So you'd actually have treasure hidden. And then as we read what Jesus says, this guy comes along and he discovers it. He finds it. And what does he do with it? What does he do with it? Immediately he buries it again. He buries it again. Why does he bury it again? Why does he do that? So no one would steal it. Yeah, quite possibly. The hint for us comes in the next bit. After he hides it again, in his joy, he goes away and sells everything he has and buys that field. Why would he want to buy the field? Anybody? Why would he want to buy that field that the treasure's in? He realizes the value of it. And if he buys the field, what happens to the treasure? It's his. It's his. That's right. So much does he realize the value of this treasure that he's come across that he's not going to give it up. He's not going to give it away. He wants to hang on to it. And so he hides it again, probably pretty well. You know, maybe put some branches over it and all of that sort of stuff. Goes away, settles things, and then comes back, owning the land, and he owns the treasure in it. So how much is it worth? How much is it worth? How much does it cost him? How much does it cost him? Do you remember the reading? Everything. He goes away, he sells everything, buys that land so he can possess that treasure. So Jesus tells this story. This treasure is worth all that he has. In fact, it's worth way more than all he has. He sees the value in it is way more than he has. It's worth everything to him. Everything. And he's not going to let it get away from him. What would it take for you to give up all that you have? Everything for something else? What would it take for you to give up everything for something else? That something else would have to be pretty special, right? And Jesus says to us, well, that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. When you find it, you'll give all else to have it, to grab hold of it. So that's the first verse that was read for us today. If we read on, verse 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. So Jesus has got a bit of a theme going here, right? bit of a theme going here. This is kind of same kind of deal, different picture, different way of looking at it. This time, it's fine pearls. It's not treasure hidden in a field, it's fine pearls. And when this merchant finds one of great value, well, it's kind of the same response as the first guy. He sells everything to buy this one precious thing that he's found. But as I looked at these verses, and as we've just looked at them just a moment ago, you might have picked this up as well, there's one big difference between these two short twin parables. And it has to do with the two characters in each of the parables. You see, the first guy, well, it kind of seems like he's not really looking for treasure, right? He's not really out there seeking. I mean, it's almost like he's gone out for a bit of a stroll, and then he's in the middle of this field, he's walking through, he kind of stubs his toe against something, and he's hopping around, you know, with a sore toe. And then he looks around, well, what did I trip on? And he looks down and he sees the edge of a box sticking out of the soil or whatever, and he goes, well, that's interesting, and he forgets about his sore toe, and he goes and checks out what it is. And he digs around it, he opens it up, and he discovers it, and well, the rest of the story, we've already heard it, haven't we? He finds something absolutely wonderful, of great value. And yet Jesus doesn't say anything about him actually looking for treasure before he gets this surprise, right? Jesus doesn't say he went out looking for it. He just found it. He came across it. But the second guy, he's a merchant. He's a fellow that's actually on the lookout for pearls, right? He's seeking fine pearls. He's actively seeking it out. And when he finally finds a particularly magnificent pearl, he recognizes that's what he's been looking for. That's it. And again, we know his reaction. He goes away and he sells everything and he buys that fine pearl. Same kind of response, but a different kind of picture. Now, why do you think Jesus would tell those two stories? Would one have been enough? Would one have kind of covered it? Well, do you know, I reckon he might be saying to us something here. I think he might be saying to us, you know, people find the kingdom in a whole lot of different ways. People come across the kingdom in a whole lot of different ways. Some are already curious. They're seeking it out. They're looking for it. They're looking for something. Perhaps they have some idea of what they're looking for, and when they find it, bingo, they know. They know, this is what I've been looking for all my life. This is it, I found it. They're seekers. Others, they may not actually be seeking. They may not even know they're looking or what they're looking for. But even for them, when they stumble across this kingdom of heaven, this amazing treasure, this life in God, they too instantly understand that this is what it is. This is what it's all about. This is what's really important. Grab hold of it with both hands and hold on to it. There's another thing with these two characters as well, and that is their backgrounds. So if we read it, the first one's kind of more of an agricultural story. It's out in the fields. He stumbles across in the fields. You know, some of the people that write commentaries on this stuff sort of talk about this guy. He's perhaps a peasant farmer. He might work for one of the big landowners or whatever, and he's just out there in the field, and he stumbles across that. The merchant, though, well, if he's dealing in fine pearls, he's likely a bit more wealthy, right? He's kind of in the biz. He's doing the business. And yet the kingdom, this kingdom Jesus talks about, is for both of them and everything in between. That's what Jesus is saying. That's the message. This kingdom is for everyone and anyone. The richer, the poorer, everybody in between. The seekers or the ones who just find it along the way. It's for everyone. It's for everyone. So this kingdom is for everyone, but there's three things, I guess, that Jesus has for us from these two parables that we just don't want to miss this morning. And we've kind of already touched on a couple of them. There's, first of all, the great value of the treasure, right? Jesus is pointing out that this is of great value, worth everything. So there's the value. Secondly, there's the joy in finding it, right? The joy in finding it. In the first story, the man finds it, he rehides it, covers it over, and in his joy, In his joy, this is not begrudging, this is not like, oh, this is going to cost me a lot or whatever. In his joy, he goes out and sells all he has to buy the field. You'd want to hope, wouldn't you, that he actually bought the right field, that he didn't come back and go, oh, no, the treasure's over there and I bought that field. I was thinking that about this yesterday, and that's just how my mind works, sorry. But he bought the right field where the treasure is, and in his joy, he goes out and he does that, he possesses it. In the second story, the word joy is not actually used, but you can bet that when this guy finds what he has been looking for all that time, is he going to be joyful about that? You bet he is. What happens when you find something that maybe just even trivial that you've been looking for? It's like, yes, I found it. He's going to be out of his tree. He'll be delighted. So there's the value in the treasure, and there's the joy in finding it, but then thirdly, there's the cost. There's the cost. And you could say to me, hey, Mark, we've already talked about the value. Doesn't that sort of include that? No, cost is different. Cost is different. Because the value in the treasure is already there, right? It's a valuable treasure. But it's not until you go, actually, I want to possess that treasure, I want to take hold of that treasure, that we talk about how much is that going to cost, right? The cost comes into it. When you weigh up the cost, you work out what it's worth, and you pay whatever it takes to gain that. So what is this kingdom? What is this treasure? What is this pearl of great value that brings such joy? Well, Jesus has actually been talking about this for some time, because even at the beginning of his ministry, and we go back to the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, in chapters 3 and chapters 4, Jesus has already been talking about this kingdom. He's been saying to people, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Jesus is proclaiming that. Now, repent means to turn around, to go in another direction, to do things the other way. And that's a pretty good hint for us, because Jesus is bringing in a new age. He's bringing in what the writer Dallas Willard calls the time of the kingdom among us. God's kingdom among us. Jesus brings that in. A kingdom that in many ways works upside down. It works in an opposite way to how things often work in our world around us. A kingdom where values are different. A kingdom where God's grace is active and at work. Yes, it's active elsewhere as well, but we particularly see that when we're part of this kingdom. It's a kingdom where our identity as daughters and as sons of the King is established. That's in the kingdom. It's a kingdom that we were made for. It's a kingdom that we were created for. And so in the same way as that merchant had been looking all his life for the real thing, for that pearl that stood way above any others that he'd ever seen, the one he'd dreamed about. When we discover this kingdom and this king, when we kind of stub our toes on it and look down and really see this magnificent way of living and looking at life for what it is, when we see its value, well, then we can feel its joy. We can feel the joy in that. We can know that it's worth whatever the cost. For this is real treasure. And at last we've found what we're looking for. For many of us, finding Jesus is what we've been looking for, right? I know that's true for many of us here. Finding Jesus is what we're looking for. It's like coming home to something that we've longed for all our lives. Finally, we've found what we're looking for. And there's great joy in that. Willard again makes a comment in one of his books, and he says that says this about God. He says, undoubtedly he, that is God, is the most joyous being in the universe. Undoubtedly God is the most joyous being in the universe. I've heard somebody speak about God and say that God is the kindest person he has ever known in dealing with him. This is a bit of a different slant, that God is the most joyous being in the universe. Joy, like love, comes from him. God is love. Love flows from him. Joy does too. It flows out of him. But you know, people don't always see God like that. Have you noticed that? Sometimes we don't. People don't always see God like that. But if you look at Jesus, We've got the picture of Jesus in the Gospels. We read about him, the way he interacted with people. He was a joyous present. He loved and enjoyed engaging with people. There was joy in him. People wanted to spend time with him. Jesus was undoubtedly a person of, you know, compelling joy and life. And as Jesus himself says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've looked at me, you've seen how I behave, you've seen the Father. So just make no mistake, there's joy in this kingdom. But there's still a little bit more to say about this kingdom treasure that Jesus is talking about. Just a few chapters back in a speech that Jesus gave on the side of a hill, we know it as the Sermon on the Mount, just this magnificent speech of Jesus where he speaks about a whole lot of different things. We read these words. We read these words. It ties into our treasure theme. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What Jesus is offering us is something quite different. He's inviting us into something. The normal way that we humans operate is what do we do? We store up treasures on earth, right? That's kind of what we do. Jesus knows this. It would have been a little bit different, looked a bit different in his day. But in our day, we accumulate stuff, don't we? In our day, it's cars and maybe houses and stuff to go in the houses and all of that sort of stuff. But when this stuff, when these things on earth become our treasure, well, then we've kind of stepped over a line, kind of stepped over a line on something. The thing is, as Jesus points out, these things, these treasures on earth will eventually let us down. You know, moths or rust eat them away, or, you know, things can be stolen or damaged or whatever. And, of course, the ultimate rip-off is, and, you know, it's a bit of a cliche, but you can't take it with you when this life is over, right? You can have whatever, you can have an enormous accumulation, but you can't take it with you. So allowing these temporary things to become treasures in our lives leads us into all sorts of anxiety and worry, and Jesus offers us a different way. He offers us a different way, and it's the way of this kingdom treasure that we're talking about. Again, I'm referring to Willard, this book that that I've been reading in the last 12 months. He says something again, which when I first read it just blew me away. He says, what Jesus is doing here is inviting us into a space where we don't have to worry at all. How would that be? He's inviting us into a space with a complete absence of anxiety. No need to worry, no need to be anxious. How does that sound? How many of us worry at different times? Or we get anxious about stuff. The anxiety is a real issue in our community these days. Well, Jesus is saying that's the way of the kingdom. That's real treasure. That would be real treasure, wouldn't it? The idea is if that we get a hold of what Jesus is saying here, we can be completely confident in every single area of our lives, when things are going well and when things are not going so well, that God has got this. God has got it in hand. And so we need not be anxious at all. We can give it over to him. That's part of what Jesus is inviting us into. Let me just put it in another way. If your heart is set on things that aren't perishable, that aren't stealable, that aren't burnable, that aren't able to be wrecked or damaged by hailstorms or hurricanes or financial crashes or war or whatever else, if your heart is set on things that aren't those things, then there's really nothing you need to worry about, because any stuff you treasure is completely safe because it's of God, it's eternal. Set your heart, says Jesus, on what really matters. Things like relationships. Things like practicing the presence of God. You know, that relationship with Him. Things like bringing some love and light and grace into the world. Sharing the good news. Changing a life. Worshipping an eternal good God who provides for His much-loved children. And then simply trusting Him for the other stuff. That sound like a good way to live? It's real treasure. It's the way of the kingdom. And you can read more about that stuff in chapter 6 of Matthew's Gospel. It's just really good to go and read and to unpack some of that stuff. So I commend that to you after, like, this week or this afternoon or whatever. Not right now. But let's kind of get real for a minute. The reality for us is that it's more difficult to live in that space, right? That's where I want to live. That's where I want to be doing it. But I also find it really hard to practice that consistently. To keep that treasure in sight and to be letting Jesus take the wheel and me not grabbing it back off him quite as often. I had a mate who struggled with this at one point in time, and he was just having some really sleepless nights. He was really anxious about stuff. He was a follower of Jesus. And it took him a while. He was a bit embarrassed to admit. It took him a while to kind of think, you know what I'm going to do? When I wake up in the middle of the night and I can't go back to sleep, I'm just going to pray. And I'm just going to give God the stuff that I'm anxious about. Anyway, it wasn't like an instant cure for him. It took a while. But as he continued to do that, every time he wake up, he'd pray and give that over to God. What happened is the sleeplessness gradually reduced until he was sleeping through the night again. It didn't happen straight away. He had to be kind of follow through on that. But that was just a really helpful picture. Just a great example of trusting Jesus in an anxious space, you know, at the pace that we can manage and allowing God into that space in our lives. But even into all of that growing that we might do in that space, you've still got to ask yourself a really big question. And it's this: where do I most want to be? Where do I most want to be? In my heart of hearts, where's my treasure? Where's my treasure? Where is my heart inclined? As Jesus says, the place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. So how did you answer that question I asked at the beginning? You know, what is your treasure? What do you treasure? What do you value? What is treasure to you? What are you looking for? What treasure are you seeking? Perhaps you already know it. Perhaps you're still looking. You're still seeking. My prayer is that you find it. That you find what you're looking for. But if you found that treasure, if you found this way of God's kingdom, it does change the whole way we look at life. It does turn everything upside down. It does point us in an opposite direction. And this is what Jesus invites us into. It's treasure in a field. It's the best pearl ever. It's knowing God's grace. It's knowing real peace. It's living in freedom and joy. It's knowing the way of Jesus, and it's the best treasure you will ever find, because it's what we were made for. We were made to live in that, in relationship with God. So what will it cost you? Well, just everything. That's all. This is something that you give your whole life to. But if we hear Jesus properly, what he's saying is, it is worth everything. It is worth giving your life to. And like a man who stumbles across treasure in a field, or like a merchant who finds just what he was looking for, we can know when we find this that that's what really matters. So I guess the question for us in that is, will we take that step? Will we give our whole selves to it? Will we embrace what only God the Father, through Jesus the Son, by the Holy Spirit, can offer? Real treasure. Real treasure. Will we grab hold of that, embrace that, and give our lives to it? Let me pray for us before we worship again in song. Lord God, I pray that we would be brave enough to open up our hearts to our real longings, to the longings that you've placed in there, Lord, the longings to be connected with you, the longings to be part of this kingdom. And Lord, for each one of us, it's going to be a different step, it's going to be a different eyes open experience. And it may well be something we're already journeying with. But by your Spirit, Lord, open our eyes. Help us to see it for what it is. And help us, like the examples we've looked at today, to go in joy and do whatever it takes to give our lives to it. Lord, I pray joy over us as we do that. I pray your peace over us. And we give thanks, Lord, that you've made that possible in Jesus. Amen.